Let's get ready to rumble!
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the first boxing podcast from William Hill of 2015. And we've got an absolute belter to look forward to as well this weekend in the company of the man himself, Steve Bunce. Hey, Buncey.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, thanks. I'm going to disappoint you a little bit, though. I know you've talked about it with other people. We kind of put an unofficial ban on talking about Mayweather and Pacquiao on this podcast, didn't we? I don't think it was ever said, but I think we just stopped talking about it because we talked about it so much. Before we move on to the big heavyweight clash of the weekend, is it going to happen?
Well, one side has agreed 100% to 100% of the obstacles. So that makes, if you're a mathematician, you realise that we've got the fight. Well, 50% of it is set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
Manny Pacquiao's agreed to everything. The drug testing protocol, degree of a split of the fee, the gloves that he's going to use, the MGM date May 2nd, of course, where Mayweather's fought his last 10 fights. He's agreed to everything. Mayweather's agreed to nothing.
Mm.
So in many ways, we're no closer. But the fact that one fighter has basically signed off on every single deal, it looks to me like Pacquiao will agree everything. Now it's down to Mayweather to weigh it up and work out, does he want to risk everything, if he considers it still a risk, or does he want to go for it? His legacy, in many ways, will not be affected by it because it's already too late.
Mm.
Maybe 30 years' time, people will look back. If he were to beat Pacquiao, people might look back in 30 years and go, oh, that was the seed, that was the cherry on the cake. Well, it's not. It would have been the cherry on the cake in 2009 or 2010. It's not the cherry on the cake now. It's an exercise in making an absolute fortune in a fight that certainly is entertaining. But it's not what it was. Not what it was. Will it be a good fight? I think it'll be a better fight. They're both slower.
Yeah.
They're both more vulnerable. It's going to be a terrific fight. It's going to be a better fight now than ever.
Yeah, well, but I remember you saying that, Buncey. I remember you saying before when we talked about it way back when, you saying that don't get carried away and thinking this is going to be the fight of all times. You know, this could be a bit of a damp squib because Pacquiao will throw punches, but Mayweather will avoid them. And it might just be a 12-rounder where Mayweather just kind of, defends his way to a win.
Well, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, that was probably the fight. The fight was probably Mayweather being too clever and his arms being too long, being too smart, being too defensive, and Pacquiao being too eager. It's a different fight now. They both slowed down. They both have to use their feet a little bit more. They both have to throw fewer punches. It's a different fight now. It's a better fight. It's not. It's nowhere near as good as it was ever going to be. Because we were going to see two guys at the peaks of their careers fighting each other when they were absolutely in their primes. They're not in their primes now. But I'm going to ask you one simple question before we move on. The greatest heavyweight fight of all time was the Thriller in Manila. Both fighters were shot to bits.
Yeah, true.
But
yeah.
It was the greatest fight ever, so go figure.
Yeah. There are a few other fights that William Hill have priced up that haven't been sealed. That fight, they've got Floyd Mayweather at 2-7 to beat Manny Pacquiao, 11-4 for Pacquiao, and the draw is 20-1. They've also got Floyd Mayweather versus Amir Khan, 4-11 Mayweather, 21-10 Khan. So they've got Khan shorter price than Manny Pacquiao to beat Floyd Mayweather, Buncey, which I thought was interesting.
That is interesting, and you know what? I think Amir Khan's got brings to the table all of the problems that Floyd Mayweather dislikes,
yeah.
If you want an honest opinion. I think I can't see Floyd Mayweather knocking the new Amir Khan out. Maybe I'm wrong. I can see Amir Khan causing him problems. And I tell you what, if Floyd Mayweather doesn't fight Manny Pacquiao, I don't think he'll fight Amir Khan.
No. Yeah. He's not one for risking things, is he?
No.
Carl Frampton, Scott Quigg and Luke Campbell, Tommy Coyle are both priced up here. Both really good fights that we'd love to see this year.
Yeah.
We could get both of those this year, couldn't we?
Yeah, I think we will get both of those. We're going to get Coyle and Campbell. That's set in stone.
Yep.
Campbell, and the problem is that people in the trade know that Campbell is just so much the governor there. Coyle will be in hard fights for most people. It won't be a hard fight for Campbell on the night. And that's no disrespect to Tommy Coyle. Now, the other one, I think we'll end up getting. I really do. Because after Frampton fights Avalos in February, he can't fight another guy like that. The Irish people won't stand for it. Santa Cruz will always price himself out, and no one wants to touch Rigondeaux. Scott Quigg's already fought half a dozen people like Avalos. Something's got to give. If I'm Scott Quigg, I'm screaming at the people around me saying, get me Frampton. And yeah. It shouldn't be about the money. Get me Frampton. Otherwise, in 2 and 3 and 4 years' time, we'll be just wondering about Scott Quigg. Scott who? Scott what? Scott what did he do? Scott who did he fight? No. They both need each other. They are going to end up both needing each other.
The prices for those, Frampton is 8-15, so more or less 2-1 on. Quigg 6-4. Campbell 1-5 to beat Tommy Coyle, who's 100-30. Let's move on to the heavyweights. Before we get on to the fight, just a quick word on Anthony Joshua. Unfortunate start to 2015 for him. You can only hope, Buncey, from his point of view and from ours as the watching public, that he lets that heal, and that's the last we hear of it, because he had such a good 2014, Buncey. Not only in the ring, but out of it. It's a rubbish way to start the new year. He was so keen for that fight, wasn't he?
Yeah, and it was a great fight. It didn't matter what Kevin Johnson showed up on the night. People were suggesting to me, oh, Kevin Johnson's not taking it seriously. He's not going to train well. I think that would have been foolish by Johnson. Johnson had a chance to make an even bigger name for himself. I'm a big fan of Johnson. I think it was a great fight. It was a really hard fight. I was on record as saying, I think it's not a stupid fight. I don't think it was a sensible fight. The back injury is not that serious. The announcement was meant to come a week ago. They held it back for 3 or 4 days, monitoring it, and then they finally decided, whenever it was, Monday, to call the fight off. This is not a career-threatening injury, but it's a niggle, and it's a worry, and it's a concern. And the big concern, of course, is that Joshua doesn't look like he's built or constructed for 12-round fights. He looks, he's too powerful. It's all about explosion. It's a hard thing, and when we get to 4 rounds, how's he going to survive?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he copes.
It's going to be so interesting. What happens if for the first time someone hits him? What happens if for the first time someone doesn't fall on the floor? What happens for the first time if someone grabs him, mauls him, doesn't let him work? He's not going to have a clue how to get out of it. He's never had that yet.
Well, yeah.
Once Kevin Johnson grabs two elbows and sticks his head somewhere underneath Joshua's ear, what is Joshua going to do? The answer is, I have no idea. And I said, what? Neither does Joshua. And that's why Johnson was such a great opponent. And trust me, he was a great opponent, a hard opponent, a tough opponent.
Let's move on to the big fights on Box Nation this weekend. Bermain Stiverne versus Deontay Wilder. A crack at anyone who loves heavyweight boxing, and most boxing fans, even if it's not the favourite division, have got a real soft spot for the big guys, especially when you've got two guys who like to have a right old go at each other. WBC World Heavyweight title at the MGM Grand. Feels like it's back, heavyweight boxing, Buncey. I know I'm doing the Klitschko's down because they've been selling out venues in Eastern Europe and Germany for years now, but This has got a really nice feel about it. Stiverne's 24 wins, 21 by stoppage. He's lost and been stopped once himself. That was a while back, and it was an 8-rounder. He was stopped in 4 by Demetrius King in 2007. Deontay Wilder, of course, 32 wins, 32 by stoppage. He's never been past 4 rounds in his career. From the records, I haven't watched every single one of his fights, Buncey, but I can only make out that he's been down once as a pro when he fought Harold Skonias in a rematch, and he went down once. To be fair, Skonias went down 4 times in the fight. But this is good. I mean, Deontay Wilder's like, I guess he's like Anthony Joshua, but moved on a few years, isn't he? People were saying, who's he fought? What's his chin like? He hasn't gone the full distance. He's never fought a 12-rounder. But you look at Audley Harrison, people say, yeah, that was
still
an easy win. He's still a name. Nikolai Furter, Malik Scott, Jason Geverne. These are boxers, aren't they?
I'll go back even further. Kirsten Manswell,
yeah, okay.
Owen Beck fought for a world title, Fur for Scott, Gavin. Yeah. Now, Eli Kovic, former world champion, Audley Harrison, did all of them, stopped all of them, sometimes in the first round. Those 6 or 7 or 8 fighters there aren't bad. And those are the guys he's met in his last 12 or 13 fights. So get the first 12, 10 of whom went over in the first round. He is fighting perfectly okay fighters, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
They're not well beaters. Don't confuse that. But if you're matched with Malik Scott and you do him in a round, that's good. Because Derek Del Boy Chisora was matched with Malik Scott and did him in 6 or 7 rounds, and it was a great win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't have 6 months later or whatever it is, or 8 months later, Deontay Wilder do it in one round, and it's not a good win.
Yeah, true
Getting
enough.
Aldi Harrison out there quick in one round was a perfectly good win. Good win. Did it better than David Haye did a couple of months earlier, or a year
that's
earlier.
That's true.
Or 2 years earlier. So there's nothing wrong with these last six or seven opponents. However, what we have no idea about with Wilder is what happens when he's properly put under pressure. I don't mean clipped by Scogniers, who he then gets up to destroy. Yep. I don't mean clipped. I mean what happens when a guy doesn't fall over from that first mad barrage. When he, you know, and he fights on fear. I mean, Aldo Harrison was down trying to get up and he was still hitting him. The referee hadn't responded. It was all over too quickly. Now, we know Stiverne can be hurt. We know he can be rocking. He was rocking in the fight when he won the world title in the fifth round before coming back in the sixth when he was behind the two of the scorecards to win the title. So we know he can get hurt. And I think this fight comes down, listen, people keep telling me it comes down to one thing or two things or three things, and they named them. I'm going to put it down to this one thing. How well will Wilder get up? I know Stiverne will keep getting up.
Yep.
Okay, I know Stiverne will know what to do when he gets up. I'm not sure Wilder will. I'm not sure when he gets hit, assuming he does. Because they both have to get hit.
Well, the way he fights, I mean, he doesn't mind being hit, does he? I mean, he wades in there, doesn't he?
I'd take that one step further and say it's not a case he doesn't mind being hit. He throws all those punches to make sure he's not hit. He fights on fear.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't take any risks. He goes ballistic. And, you know, and he throws all those punches. The suggestion is that Stiverne might try and move. Well, it's really hard to move away from Wilder because he's got a bit of amateur pedigree, bronze medal in the Beijing Games. More than that, he's got extremely slim legs, long legs, got no thighs at all. His thighs are 10 inches less, smaller than Stiverne's. He's got little ankles. You'd think you'd transplanted him with a Kenyan marathon runner. He's got tiny little ankles and little legs, to be honest with you. However, they're long. And he cuts the ground down well. So the idea that Stiverne would be able to, you know, take a few rounds and just throw a jab and keep his hands up, it's not going to happen. Wilder's not going to let it happen. Mark Breland, in Wilder's corner, is not going to let his fighter take the first two or three rounds easy when he knows he's never been past four rounds, is he?
No.
They'll go for bust. Mm-hmm. Even if they get done, they'll go for bust.
Yeah.
But then next time, they can rethink. Right now, they can't start planning for this fight, putting into plan a plan that's never happened before. They can't think, you know what, we'll take it easy for two or three rounds against Stiverne, hit him with a few jabs, or weigh him up and see how we go in five or six rounds. They've never been there. They can't even think that way. Everything they do has to be a three-round or four-round fight.
Yeah.
Stiverne's got the beauty of two of his last four fights, or three of his last four fights going seven or eight rounds. 12 rounds a year ago against Areola, or 2 years ago against Areola before stopping him in the rematch. Those are crucial rounds.
Yeah.
Those are the rounds that make heavyweights. Those are the rounds that David Price never had and regretted when he got beat by Tony Thompson. Those are the rounds, I think, where we're going to discover just how good Anthony Joshua is. And I think on Saturday night, we're going to find out what Wilder's got. Can Wilder go out and hit Stiverne early and take him out of it? Absolutely, 100%. Can Wilder go out, get up in the third round and win in the sixth or seventh? I don't think so. Can Stiverne get hurt, come back, survive a few rounds and stop Wilder? Absolutely. I'm not helping you, Lee, I know. I'm just giving you outcome.
I like it. I mean, the bookies don't think this is going the distance, Buncey. They've got it at 1-8 that it stops, it ends within the distance. 9-2 that it does go the full 12 rounds. The weird thing about that, Buncey, is, and I don't think it'll happen, but just out of interest, Stiverne by decision is 10-1. Wilder by decision is 9-1. If this goes the distance, there's no way Wilder's winning it, is there?
No, I can't.
That's crazy.
No, the only way Wilder could win on points is if he's got loads of 10-8 rounds.
Yeah, true.
So he could lose eight rounds, win four, but he could win those four by two or three knockdowns.
And he does do that. You know, you look down the list and he knocks people down for fun, doesn't he?
He does knock people down for fun, but he doesn't necessarily hit them on the chin and they're out cold.
No, true.
You know, he cuffs them, clips them.
Yeah.
They fall over, they wander over. Same with Stiverne. Their legs go, they're over here, they're over there.
Yeah, So Wilder's 1-2 to win the fight, 2-1 on, and Stiverne is 8-5. The draw 33-1. We've got grouped round betting. We've got the method of results. So Stiverne by stoppage is 15-8. That includes disqualification, of course. Wilder by stoppage is 8-13. So odds on. We've got the group rounds. If you think Wilder's going to do what he always does, 1-3 rounds is 3-1. Deontay Wilder in 4-6 is 100-30. So he's a favourite in all of these.
3-1's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah, I don't mind that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell you what I do fancy. How about a win and having been on the floor? You know that?
Yeah, they haven't got that yet. I'm hoping that they'll put those specials out, because that'll be. I was looking for that myself once, because that'll be a great bet, wouldn't it?
I mean, Stiverne in four rounds or three rounds, having been on the floor. That's my bet.
You think Stiverne will win then?
Oh, I've got a feeling Stiverne will win.
Yeah. Right. Well,
I've been on Wilder for 3 months, and I'm just starting to revisit it.
Mm. Yeah, well, Stiverne in rounds 4, 5, or 6 is 13-2.
That's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all, is it?
Not bad at all. That's
it. Yeah, you're having that one. Or if you just don't want to name the round, I think Stiverne by a stoppage at 15-8, from what Bunce has said, might have some legs as well.
If you just want
a stoppage, just under 2-1 for him to stop Wilder.
This is the type of fight where your prediction can be 100% off.
Yeah, because
it can be one fraction of a second and just 3 inches of leather away from being 100% right.
Yeah, that's heavyweight boxing, though, isn't it? Anything, literally anything can happen between these two, and that's why.
I've gone for that. I've gone for Stiverne there in three, four, five. Okay, now if he gets a boxing lesson from Wilder, then that would be me being wrong. If he gets hit on the chin and stopped in the second round, that's not me being wrong.
No.
If he can get it right, there is a difference.
Yes. Bunce, that'll do us for this week. We've got loads of good boxing coming up, of course, over the next few weeks and months. So we'll be back the start of February, I think, and we'll look through some of those fights then. But thanks for that, and enjoy Saturday night, Sunday morning.
Lee, thanks very much. Brilliant.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.